This program is sponsored by West Automotive Group.
The West Automotive Group presents Auto Talk Radio with host Brian Bowersock. Brought to you by West Escondido, West Oceanside, West El Cajon, West Kearney Mesa, and West Miramar Automotive and Transmission. All part of the West Automotive Group. Get your automotive questions answered. Call Brian at 1-888-344-1170. That's 1-888-344-1170. Now, here's your host of Auto Talk Radio, Brian Bowersock.
All right, folks, welcome to Auto Talk Radio. Here we are. Man, I'll tell you what, it is one foggy, damp morning out there. Did you have any fog coming in, Brendan?
Oh, absolutely. I live next to Lake Murray, so fog was heavy there. Then it started to slow down when I got onto the 8. As soon as I got on the 805 to get here to UTC, boom, it was just nothing but the densest fog you've ever seen right there. So, not you ever seen.
Everybody slow down out there.
That's right.
And don't turn your brights on.
Definitely not.
Then it's like driving into a wall.
And if you still have fog lights on your car, definitely turn those on. So.
Oh, yeah. They're very helpful. That's a good tip. That's a good tip.
I feel like the, what do you call it? NHSTA, I think.
National Highway Traffic. Safety Administration.
NHTSA. They should honestly legalize.
Actually, it's not traffic. It's transportation. National Highway Transportation.
Yeah. They should. So they made cars from 2018 from now have they have to have like backup cameras on their cars.
Correct.
So they should do the same thing. I think most cars should all cars should have fog lights involved with them too.
Correct.
Yeah, but they don't do that.
Hey, have you Googled for us the new incoming automotive laws coming up here soon?
I read them to you last week.
I remember
there was only those three. Why is there a little bit more?
No, I don't think so. I remember, yeah, that we discussed those.
Yeah.
There wasn't a whole lot this year. Sometimes there's a ton of them.
Yeah. As far as I know of, it's again the there's the parking one. Where they're increasing the parking spaces in between intersections and stuff like that. So now there's going to be less parking involved, especially in downtown areas.
Oh, to keep you can't park as close to an intersection, basically.
Yes, is what exactly.
You're saying. Got you.
There's some street racing laws. So law enforcement can impound your car even if you're only spectating for street racing.
It's probably a good idea.
I agree.
Keep people from dying.
Uh-huh.
If you want to race, go to a track. There's plenty of opportunities all over the place.
That's right. Law enforcement can impound your car even if you are racing on private streets or in parking lots. There's a clear definition now of what a sideshow and a street takeover is now officially. Okay.
Very dangerous. That usually somebody gets hurt.
I couldn't agree more. And on top of that, I like how now we are now becoming more definitive on those things too. Because I swear to you, some of the vagueness on a lot of laws, a lot of people will be able to kind of twist it around in their direction and be like, "Well, it doesn't technically say this. It's so vague and stuff." So they're able to get around and not get punished for their actions that they get around. So that's I'm very happy to see that.
All the street racing or corner takeovers where everybody's doing donuts in the middle of the street and all that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks real fun, except for it's extremely dangerous and it's a terrible idea. And usually people that get hurt are innocent people that aren't involved in it.
Totally. There's a nonprofit organization spreading the awareness of it. It's called Street Racing Kills. Highly recommend people take a look into that nonprofit organization.
It's very cool.
They do really, really good things.
We've had awareness. Me and Dave were involved years ago with an organization that they would rent Qualcomm's parking lot, and
yes.
We used to run races. I don't know if they're still that organization is still around or not. That was here in San Diego mainly.
I can't remember either, but I definitely know about what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And they would do drift races and stuff like that there.
They drag races they set up for and all that kind of stuff. But it was all run so that you could come and bring your street car if you're a kid, and you could run your car on the track. It was safe with K rails and all.
Yeah, and the way they set up, now it's called Snapdragon Stadium. The way they set it up, they have little small light posts in between almost every other parking spot area. Yeah,
so they can't do it there.
Yeah. So, and it's very, excuse me, I am so sorry. I'm hiccuping for some reason. this is live radio. It's very strange the way it looks, the layout of the parking lot.
I haven't been there yet. I'll have to go. I still need to go check that place out. It's kind of a cool place, though, huh, compared to Qualcomm?
They have this little kids' playground that I took my son to. Mm-hmm. Very strange. It's underneath the underpass of the trolley area, so that part's kind of strange. But otherwise, there's a lot of kids there, and the
is the stadium a lot nicer than Qualcomm was?
Yes, but at the same time, there's been complaints about the field conditions. We don't do a very good job upkeeping those field conditions. Huh. And I've
heard, the people that play on the field, you mean?
Yes, correct. And I've heard that in terms of spectating wise, like, there's you're always a little too far from the action, even if you're like right at the very front. Mm-hmm. Apparently, mm-hmm. Personally, I don't mind personally because I could still see the action somewhat. Mm-hmm. At Qualcomm, if you're in the nosebleed section, good luck. You're absolutely going to need binoculars to see anything.
Oh yeah,
field for sure. Uh-huh. So I actually think this is an okay stadium. Nice. Again, I do agree the field conditions could be a lot better, but.
Well, they can always fix that, though.
Exactly.
If they decide to. Mm-hmm. So.
And then lastly, the other thing I did not get to mention was safer state-owned roads and insurance liability limits super quickly. So,
did they raise the minimum insurance requirement for automobiles in California?
That's correct. For private passenger vehicles.
To what?
It's now $30,000 for injury or death to one person, uh-huh. $60,000 for injury or death to more than one person, and $15,000 to damage to property. So that doubles the amount for every single one of those right there. So apparently.
Yeah. Well, $15,000, though, it went up only five. I think it was 10 before.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Which is terrible because when you total somebody's car, $15,000 doesn't even... Most cars, on average, cars are around $40,000 that are out there on the streets value. So, I believe so. Yeah, that leaves your insurance company holding the bag for the rest.
I'm just gonna.
I've had that happen once on a vehicle.
Oh, I haven't happened to me yet, but I know it's
because the minimum I think was $10,000 on damage to another property damage. Mm-hmm. Previously, now it's $15,000, so they raised it another $5,000. They should raise it another $20,000.
According to a report from Cars.com, the newest cars of 2025, the average prices so far of how much it's going to cost a vehicle is $49,000.
Yeah, I was close. I said around $40,000.
Exactly.
And that's so, brand new. So brand I mean, new. If your car's been driven a bit, then it's not worth $40,000. But I mean, $49,000. But still, on average, you lose a car, it costs money to replace it. Lots of money.
This one, and then lastly, the safer state-owned roads. Caltrans is required to prioritize road improvements for pedestrians, cyclists, and public transit riders. Mm-hmm. So this includes improving and increasing the size of sidewalks, bike lanes, bus-only lanes, safe crosswalks, accessible pedestrian signals, and more. Nice. I'm very mixed on that because traffic here in San Diego is getting worse right now.
Without question.
And I know. Yeah, I know.
Without question.
So adding more bus lanes is not going to like entice people to take
the bus. How does that help? Yeah, that doesn't. I mean, because right now, like the buses all use the carpool, like going up to North County and coming back to San Diego and all that, which is fine. But I mean, if you drive by one of those buses, there's like 12 people on it.
Exactly. And then same thing with the bike lanes. I get what you're trying to do. But at the same time, I don't think biking is increasing in terms of population to get to work, per se. I think still more and more people are driving. So if anything, increase your lanes for your highways that you can reach, possibly. Mm-hmm. I'm probably the only guy that's going to complain on the air about this, probably. But that 52 needs to increase one more lane, both sides of the highways.
Isn't that what they're doing?
No, the city... what I was told was...
Well, that was a weird answer.
I know. What I was told was the city of Santee says actually because of some gerrymandering of the area, mm-hmm. that area is now owned by the city of San Diego. So that's their responsibility.
The 52 is their responsibility?
Exactly. So now
that's a county road though, isn't it?
No, I think it's a city.
Is it a state road?
Or a state road, excuse me, yeah.
Yeah, 50 state fit. Yeah, state route 52. Yeah, that is a state route. Sorry. Yeah.
So
but the state's now saying it's the responsibility of the city to take it.
Oh, yeah.
It's nice. Ridiculous. Oh, well. That road is great when you, as you go by the trash dump, you know, they're working really hard. I think what they're doing is I see them drilling and stuff. I think they're filling that with concrete under that. And then they try to smooth it out. They say some places the asphalt there is like 30 feet deep.
Yes.
Where it's, you can, they keep asphalting over.
If you get off of Mass and you stop at that first stoplight, you'll definitely see what they're talking about. It is extremely deep.
Yeah.
In there,
yeah, so. And you used to want to be careful going through there super high speed. Cause it's like going through whips.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like in the desert or something, you end up crashed if you're not careful. So,
yeah. So that's all the
out there driving, ones. Be careful.
And if you, want to hear what the other laws were, you could check out the podcast that is up from last week.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. All good. Mm-hmm. Perfect. Yeah. So just prepare yourself for those, you know, but it, most folks aren't street racers and don't do corner takeovers. So they have no worries as far as that goes.
Good.
Right. Hopefully they don't include you as a spectator if you're one that gets caught sitting in traffic when this all happens.
Hope not either. Hope not.
Yeah. We wouldn't want that. No, so, no. Yeah. So anyway, all good stuff. As far as that goes, thanks for sharing those things with
us,
Brendan.
Of course.
Folks, 1-888-344-1170, 888-344-1170, anything automotive related. This morning, we're talking about the importance of proper diagnostics on a vehicle. And really, one of the big things that I often talk about is the best money ever spent on any repair is when you get in and have a qualified technician at a quality facility diagnose your vehicle properly, because it will save you thousands of dollars in a long, long run. There are so many options on things that need to, I'll just tell you, man, if you today you look at a car and electronic wise, with the fact that everything is multiplexed together, in other words, talks to everything, all the modules, there's multiple modules in a car, but they often use the same sensor and extract data for their operation. So you can have all kinds of weird things happen in a car, go into limp home mode from something electronic glitch or picking up a sensor that intermittently is having a fault. And you could spend a lot of time and money throwing parts at a car to try to cure those things if you don't diagnose it properly. So that's why my recommendation is always get the vehicle in and get it diagnosed properly for sure. So we're going to talk some about that today and anything else, obviously, automotive related that you'd like to discuss. We're here for, give us a call and we'll get it in and get it done. We'll kind of run through the steps on when you do a proper diagnosis, what you do and how you do it. As we're talking this morning, and discuss a couple other automotive going things little by little this morning. So anyway, give us a call, 1-888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. You're listening to Auto Talk Radio on the Answer San Diego 1170 and 96.1 FM in North County. We'll be right back after these messages.
There's more Auto Talk education and empowerment on the way here on Auto Talk Radio. Get on the line and get your automotive questions answered by the Auto Man here on Auto Talk Radio. Brian Bowersock, 888-344-1170. Now, here's more Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock.
All right, folks. Welcome back to Auto Talk Radio. I'm your host, Brian Bowersock. 1-888-344-1170 if you want to jump on the line here and we'll talk about anything automotive related. Do appreciate you joining me this morning. Do want to remind folks, Auto Talk Radio is brought to you by the West Automotive Group, which consists of West Escondido Automotive and Transmission up at 2200 Auto Parkway in Escondido. AAA approved and STARS certified, taking care of folks up there in North County Inland for well over 32 years now. Where does the time go? And West El Cajon Automotive and Transmission out there in East County, taking care of folks out there for well over 12 years now. And West Kearney Mesa Automotive and Transmission, 8027 Balboa Avenue, right there in central San Diego, taking care of folks over there for over 7 years now. and West Miramar Automotive and Transmission, right in the Golden Triangle across freeway from us here, 5726 Miramar Road, East Gate Mall, AAA approved and STARS certified. Taking care of folks over there for well over 5 years. And West Oceanside Automotive and Transmission, 229 South Coast Highway, AAA approved up there in North County Coastal, taking care of folks for well over 2 years now. That's all five of our locations at the West Automotive Group. All of us, me, myself, and employees come together to bring you Auto Talk Radio, as we all believe in the same philosophy when it comes to automotive service and repair, and that is we never put money ahead of people. Stop in to have your vehicle serviced or repair and find out what quality automotive service and repair is all about. And the West Automotive Group is proud to offer 6 months no interest for your vehicle service and repair needs. You stop in, talk to one of my managers or service consultants helping you, and they can get you a West Automotive Group card. And let me tell you, it comes in handy. We have lots of clients that use it, whether it's just for servicing your vehicle or, you know, a repair comes up that's needed and you just don't want to put it on your credit card. You can do it 6 months no interest. It's a great way to go. It's like using cash for it. So it's a great way to go. You can also get in and take advantage of us diagnosing your vehicle properly, which we're kind of talking about today. As a matter of fact, to do a CertiCare transmission diagnosis, drivability diagnosis, overheat diagnosis, you know, lights not working diagnosis, check engine light, whatever it is. Jump on westautomotivegroup.com and get an appointment and get in. We'll get your vehicle diagnosed properly for any concerns you're having with your vehicle. We're also here to do some stuff as simple as oil changes for you, too. Get you scheduled in a vehicle looked at properly. So that's westautomotivegroup.com. You can also take advantage of our shuttle rides to or from work or home. No cost, of course. And we have rental partners we work with nearby for low-cost rental vehicles, as far as that goes. You can jump on westautomotivegroup.com and follow us on Facebook, X, or Instagram, where we send out tips and tweets. And this time of year is really good. Brandon loves being part of that because he likes the pie recipes. We know, don't you?
Delicious.
Delicious. You can also click on the Automan segments from there, where I'm the Automan on the CW and Fox 5 News. Check it out. They're all posted there after they air in Fox 5 airs on Wednesday morning, mid-morning news, and the CW stuff's on Friday morning and Friday evening news. You can check it all out. Straight from there. That's westautomotivegroup.com and go to there. You can also click on Auto Talk Radio, where I host Auto Talk Radio right here. You're listening to it live, but we put the podcast there when it's done. And then also you can find the podcast on the go if you like it. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pandora, Deezer, Spotify, iHeartRadio.com, and tune in. All there for your listening pleasure. If you want to listen live, all you got to do is go to 1170 AM weekend shows and find Auto Talk Radio right there on Saturday morning, and you can tune in and listen up. So all good stuff. But give us a call this morning, 1-888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Anything automotive related. Hey, some cool news. Michelin Tires is partnering with the maker of a radio frequency ID tags to make smart tires. So this is... Well, you look.
I don't know what that means.
Well, I'm going to tell you.
All right.
Do you want to listen?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay. Because you perked right up. You're like, what's a smart tire?
Exactly. I don't want to go.
Okay. This technology it's called Vienna Tag, will enable traceability of all new tires, including manufacturer date, distribution, installation, and replacement for the life of the tire, which makes it really easy.
I don't have to carry my paperwork around. See, I got it replaced at this date and this time.
Well, that's it. Yeah, it'll be able to read the stuff that's programmed into it. So super cool.
Nice.
It's not a bad idea. Look at technology, man. It's just taking us everywhere, isn't it?
It's something I still don't trust, but you know, it does have its perks.
It does have its perks. And third quarter of this year, used car sales were up quite a bit. So people were out buying cars again, as far as that goes.
I don't know. To mention the new car market, too. It has been pretty well done. And they're predicting that the exact same numbers that were from this year are going to be the exact same numbers for next year. Not surprised. So should be a good year for car sales in general. So
very cool. Very cool. Subaru put out a Solterra, which is less expensive car that they're touting.
Really? Because I read the Solterra was supposed to be really expensive, wasn't it? Let me look this
up. So it's going to be 2025 Solterra is going to be less expensive, it says. Now starts under 40 grand. There you go. See, because your average, you told me, was 49.
Yeah.
The electric SUV gets a $6,500 to $7,000 price cut, aligning it with its Toyota BZ4X sibling, and adds blacked out Onyx Edition trim. Woohoo! Nice. Look at that.
Mm.
If you like Subaru. Volkswagen's retiring the VR6 engine is being put to rest.
That's right. The last V6 engine was just finished just now. So.
Yep. They're getting rid of those. Yeah, December 20th yesterday, I believe. That was it. Mm-hmm. So.
And this is just coming after they were on strike in Germany.
That's right. I think they came up with on that Volkswagen deal that they're cutting 35,000 jobs to keep everything open.
That's correct, yeah.
So they'll stay. But I saw something about that also. Good automotive news there.
But they did reach a deal, though. So
the Dodge Durango 2025 keeps the V8 alive for 2025. So there you go. And some really...
surprised we haven't talked about that Nissan situation. Did you hear about that?
Which one? No.
Nissan and Honda are looking to merge together.
Honda's going to buy Nissan?
I believe so, yeah. Because Foxconn, which is this... Taiwanese-based manufacturer, they're also looking to buy a stake into Nissan Motors as well. So
Nissan's failing, huh?
Exactly, right now. Yeah, it sounds like it at least. Well, and I know
their
that
cars are junk.
That's not.
Can I say that aloud?
Yes, you do. It's okay. But I remember the CEO of Nissan was making a lot of negative remarks, mind you, on the business side, saying like they're really struggling.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't realize. I understand when a CEO says that, but I didn't realize it's that bad. Like, yeah, you know,
their cars, man. I'm not a fan of them. They fall apart. Yeah. Anyway, that's probably why they're struggling. So I can't. If Honda was to buy them, I would think Honda would change
so much.
So much.
Yeah. So much.
Oh. Then it might become a good car, you know? Who knows? Well, I'm just saying. On their lower end cars, we see a lot of problems. And unfortunately, a lot of people that buy them can't afford to fix some of the problems them. So it's not, it's really a bummer. That's the only reason I say those things. Corvette ZR1 hits 60 mile per hour and claimed 2.3 seconds. Look at that. Car's flying. Some good stuff. Some good automotive news there as far as that goes.
Did you hear about the recalls this week?
No. We should run down those real quick.
Mercedes-Benz is recalling about 34,000 vehicles due to a detaching sunroof.
It just flies off.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, that'd be great if you're behind them and it comes right through your windshield.
And keep in mind, these are model years from 2001 to 2011.
Uh-huh.
So these are older-ish.
So they've been flying off for a while. Great.
Exactly. So definitely check out there if you...
Wow, did you see that? There goes another Mercedes sunroof.
There you go. By the way, guess who else got recalled? If you had to guess, which car company?
Nissan.
Oh, Tesla, actually.
Oh, your favorite.
Yeah.
What did they get recalled for?
700,000 vehicles recalled due to low tire pressure, which increases the risk of a crash. These are for the 2024 Cybertrucks, the 2017 through 2025 Model 3s,
why
and the 2020 through 2025 Model Ys.
But why low tire pressure? What's causing it? What happens is low tire pressure, tire overheats.
No, I'm sorry. It's because there's a malfunction in the tire pressure monitoring system.
Oh, and it won't tell about low tire pressure.
Exactly.
Yeah, because tires low on air get overheated, they can, and you can get a blowout. So that's how you can end up with a crash.
Yeah. So this is the, I want to say this is the 28th recall on all the Tesla. No, I'm kidding. No, it's a lot of recalls on those Tesla vehicles. It's crazy.
And everybody has, if you Googled recalls in review for 2024, you'd see a crazy amount of recalls for all manufacturers. Really are.
And then IC Cars is the name of this other website. They looked at the U.S. fatality analysis reporting system. Tesla leads for 2024 in terms of the highest fatal accident rates out of all automotive brands. Number two, I could read the top five super quick, but number five is Hyundai, number four is Dodge, three is Buick, and two is Kia. So, but keep in mind the accident rates compared to those vehicles is substantially lower compared to Tesla. Tesla is so much higher, like double the amount. Yeah. So.
Huh. Wonder why. They still have that no hands driving thing on those cars.
Yeah.
You know, that's
I think that might be a big reason why, personally. But
people don't use common sense.
And not only that, but again, we talked about it all year long. The amount of recalls that they're getting every single week, it seems like, when mm-hmm. I come on the air with you, I think that's another big thing to look at, too, in terms of why there's a big fatality rate with their vehicles. Possibly.
They do, and they're seeing a lot of concern. Well, because most repairs have to be done at Tesla because they're the only one, they hold the parts,
right?
And they don't share, but they're the way they repair the vehicles and that is very different kind of a setup. Mm-hmm. The cars are diagnosed supposedly online, you know, as far as their information back and forth to the car.
Yes.
So when the car comes in, the technician just gets a roller cart full of parts and he's told to replace those. If he replaces those and it fixes the problem, great. If it doesn't fix the problem, he just turns the cart back in and says, okay. And then they go through another round throwing stuff at the car, you know?
So you think that these recalls are not fixing the issue and then they'll get recalled again and henceforth
I'm not saying
their
that.
Recalls numbers?
I'm sure plenty of them fixed the issue.
Okay.
I was just talking about a little different way they have of doing things. When they do a recall, they come up with a fix because they've tested it and before they do it. They don't just
okay.
So but that doesn't mean there's not another broken thing that comes up next,
not,
you know.
Not.
So
Last thing to recall is actually a tire company. A company that sells replacement winter tires
Uh-oh.
Is recalling 541,000 tires.
What's the concern with them?
And the concern, I got to read it here. They don't have enough snow traction to meet North American standards.
Oh. So,
yes.
So they accidentally made them wrong.
Exactly. Yes. So.
Who is the tire company?
Prinks Chenshane. I think is how you pronounce it.
Oh, it's Chinese tires.
Yes.
So they're not made. Yeah. Well, I mean, there's some good tires out there. There are those I've never heard of. So usually those off-brand Chinese tires are they're get you by tires. We call them.
And
that's
you,
usually
and
what
you've
we call
always
them.
And you've talked about this too about
oh, yeah.
you know, those other companies out there like that.
Yeah, so. We'll be talking about tires next week a lot.
Oh,
so,
okay.
But
sure to save that for next week.
Then. Yeah, that's there's okay. there's a lot that goes into tires and it's yeah some of those tires we see you can't balance them out if they're not the highest quality and or they wear really fast or they go whoop 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 when you drive.
Yep.
Never, but nobody wants to go whoop 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 while you're driving. I guarantee you that.
Definitely not.
So let's definitely talk more about tires next week for sure. For sure. So anyway, let's see here. Let's grab Steve real quick. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing pretty good. I've got two different vehicle questions.
Sure.
On a 2001 F-150,
mm-hmm.
I replaced the wheel bearings. I had a helper. Sorry.
That's okay.
Tell me that I needed to torque the nut on the wheel bearing.
Yeah. So that's a hub and bearing setup. Did you replace the whole hub and bearing assembly or just the bearings?
I replaced the races. I kept the hub.
Okay.
It was new disc. It's in the. I'm sorry. This is in the front.
Okay.
Disc brakes, and so the disc is new. Just a while back, it should have replaced the bearings at the time.
Okay.
But I did. And so either that or they had the nylon on the outers. They had the nylon piece that holds the bearing in place.
Uh-huh.
And that's what went away.
Oh, so gotcha.
This time the ones I got were metal, all metal.
Gotcha.
But, I've been doing this a long time, and
on that year truck, this is two wheel drive, right?
Correct.
Okay, so on that front wheel, that truck though, it's not cone and race bearings. It's actually a solid bearing, correct?
They're roller bearings.
Correct. Yeah. So the torque on those is super important to be exact, because the bearing will fail again if it's not torqued properly.
Okay.
Yeah, so he is correct on that.
Okay.
Yeah, so you definitely want to look that up. And it's kind of a high torque, too. So, but yeah, okay. If you do not get them torqued right, in short order, they will fail again, start making noise.
Okay.
Okay. So hopefully that helps answer that question.
Yeah, that I will proceed with the torque wrench.
Yeah, if for some reason you can't find the torque on that, you should be able to, though, by Googling. But if you can't, you can always email me, and I'll look it up for you. So no worries.
Okay.
And what was the second question?
His vehicle is a 90, made in September of 95, mm-hmm. but I believe it is a 96 because it's got the OBD2 plug.
Should be 96 in September. Yes, sir.
Yeah. And so the ABS light's on, and then the battery light is on.
What kind of vehicle are we talking about?
I'm sorry, 96 Ranger.
Oh, Ford Ranger. Okay.
Yeah.
The ABS light and battery light are both on.
Yes.
Most likely the ABS is a wheel sensor or something like that on that vehicle, as far as that goes, has failed. Did the battery light come on at the same time the ABS light came on, though?
No, the ABS light's been on a while.
Yeah.
He said. Battery light came on while I was using it to go get parts.
Gotcha. It's that. Well, most likely what's happened is if it's still charging, the alternator started to fail, or the diode trio in the alternator has started to fail and it allows backfeed and turns that light on. So it might still be charging, but the end result is the alternator's on its way to the big house in the sky, most likely.
Yep.
So it's probably going to need an alternator replaced on it. And obviously, if you keep operating it with that and it's not charging properly, it'll need a battery also, because that'll kill a battery in pretty quick order.
Okay. The check engine light came on, and then it went off. Will that battery light trigger the check engine light?
Usually not, but voltage fluctuations can cause codes to set. So it is possible. And then the reason that the light goes back off is it runs the monitor and everything's fine. Then the computer's actually smart enough to turn the light off for now. Still stored all the data to why it came on inside the computer. But it's most likely picked up something, turned on the light, and then when it ran the monitor for that system again, it was all fine, so it turns the light off. So
I used my code reader and it said no stored codes or no present codes.
Well,
why I just shut it off. So it hopefully would trigger it again and set the code.
Yeah. Was there a 1000 code stored incomplete?
Negative. Huh. No codes stored or present.
Huh. Well, sometimes voltage things can set what's called manufacturer's codes, and if you just have a little Palm code reader, it won't pick those up. So the software doesn't actually find the manufacturer's codes. But regardless, I wouldn't worry so much about that right now. I'd get the alternator straightened up on that thing, and it may not return. So as far as the ABS, going to have to go pull codes, go through some testing to figure out what's failed there. But a lot of times on those Rangers, it was speed sensors that failed.
How do you troubleshoot so you're just not throwing parts at it?
Well, I mean, as far as that goes, basically testing. So pull codes, find the circuit, start testing the circuit. You know, some of it's ohm testing, some of it's different things, reading. And when it comes to speed sensors, you obviously will hook up to them and read to see if they have any output. If they don't have any output, then the sensor itself has failed and we replace them.
Okay. Hey, I got another question.
Sure.
Has battery prices doubled?
Yeah. Kind of tripled, if you ask me, but batteries are way up in cost as far as that goes. There's no question about it. And I'm usually not surprised by anything. It was a couple years ago, even they've been heading, going north as far as that in cost, for a while. I was helping a friend out and had to get him a battery. It was on the weekend and I wasn't near the store. I was at their house, and so I went with them to get a battery. And I myself was kind of amazed by how expensive batteries are now, and they're up even more. So yeah, the answer to that is yes, batteries have really climbed in cost.
Well,
yeah, unfortunately,
it surprised me. We use the AAA, that, and it's the interstate battery, and so, but the last one was like about roughly $100. So that was like 3 years ago, and so this one was $275.
Yeah, oh yeah, they've gone way up. They really have. Well, and of course, the quality of them's gone up on a lot of them too. So, and the technology's getting better and better. But yeah, they're expensive. You think that's expensive? Get into these glass map batteries and everything that we're putting in a lot of cars. I've seen batteries up around $1,000.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's kind of expensive. So, all good. Great questions, though, my friend. Hey, Steve. Have a wonderful, safe weekend.
Sure. For the other listeners out there, Brian is absolutely right about don't throw parts, get it in and get it diagnosed by somebody who knows what they're doing, not your friend.
Yeah. Thanks for that, Steve. I appreciate it. But you are right. That's a great consumer recommendation because too many people waste money with throwing parts at cars.
There's a lot of I have some medical issues, and one of a friend of mine told me, he says, stay away from Dr. Google. There's a lot of YouTube videos out there for people that don't know what they're doing on car repairs.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, when we're kind of bored, we kind of, Google those. And a lot of them we just kind of laugh at. Like people, there's a lot of stuff out there, and it's hard to determine what is accurate and what's not. That's for sure.
Yeah. Okay, thank you, Brian.
Hey, thank you, Steve. You have a wonderful, safe weekend, and a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, my friend. Thanks for the call.
Well, I'm listening every week, so. Okay, thank you, Brian.
Appreciate it. Bye.
Bye.
All right, folks. Steve had some really great questions, and I appreciate him calling in with those. So 1-888-344-1170. That's 1-888-344-1170. You're listening to Auto Talk Radio on the Answer San Diego 1170 and 96.1 FM in North County. We'll be right back after these messages.
There's more Auto Talk education and empowerment on the way here on Auto Talk Radio. Get on the line and get your automotive questions answered by the Auto Man here on Auto Talk Radio. Brian Bowersock, 888-344-1170. Now, here's more Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock.
All right, folks. Welcome back to Auto Talk Radio. Appreciate you joining us here. 1-888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Anything automotive related, I'm happy to talk to you about. Hey, I do want to remind folks, Auto Talk Radio is also brought to you by Interstate Batteries, a battery for every need. They are the highest quality batteries out there. We don't stock any other battery at the West Automotive Group. Why? Because Interstate Batteries are the number one technician recommended automotive battery worldwide, for sure. They're also the number one recommended battery worldwide for all kinds of things. So if you need a battery for one of your vehicles, jump on westautomotivegroup.com, get an appointment, get in, we'll get you an Interstate battery installed for you. If you need a battery for any other need, and I'm telling you, they have batteries for everything, you can check them out at their storefronts at 9345 Cabot Drive in Miramar or in La Mesa at 70th and University. Interstate Batteries, a battery for every need. Go get your battery. So good stuff there. Boy, I tell you what, Christmas is next week, right around the corner. Hopefully you got your shopping stuff done, but if you get out there and you're on the road today and you're going shopping, just be careful. There's lots of people going to be out, me and Brendan were talking about earlier, the fog is heavy this morning. Matter of fact, I'm looking out the window now and it looks like pea soup. It has not cleared, so and we do have daylight here. In the rest of the country, you're traveling and all that great stuff. Everybody be safe. But as my dad said, he just texted me a bit ago and said, it's 26 degrees here in Ohio. And so it's a bit cold everywhere. Kind of cool this morning. It was 40 degrees here when I left the house. So, what do you say? 25 degrees, sunny with a slight coating of snow on the ground. Well, maybe it's going to be a white Christmas for a lot of people at different places. So one of those things for sure. Let's see, we're talking about diagnosis of vehicles, but give me a call here, 1-888-344-1170. So one of the most important things is when we're talking about is retrieving data for sure. Computer codes, freeze frames, software versions, critical sensor data and status information, which you pay attention to. Recently had an issue with my truck. Temperature and cold in the morning started going into limp home mode. It was a temp sensor inside the mass airflow sensor had failed. But it set some strange codes, and it would only do it weird times. Like it'd go weeks without doing it, and then it'd do it. So catching it in the act was not. So using the freeze frame data is how I came up with the test, because by the time I'd get someplace I could test it, everything was working perfectly and everything tested out. So, you know, it's a little frustrating with that. But using the freeze frame data and seeing that it was negative 42 degrees Celsius when this problem would happen, it was reading, it was telling me it's not reading properly, because if it becomes negative 42 degrees in San Diego, we're all going to freeze to death, I guarantee you, because we're not built for that here. So especially Celsius, which is extremely cold, at negative 42. I don't know what that is in Fahrenheit, but it's still cold. So once you go through all that, the data, then we verify testing, which is the part that we try to do. You know, there's tests that testing the sensors itself. If there's the easiest way to diagnose a failed sensor or something like that is when it just fails and doesn't come back to life. If it has an intermittent thing like this temp sensor did inside the thing, it's harder to catch, and you got to watch the data. Sometimes you'll check engine vacuum and back pressure, mechanical and electrical engine timing, if available. Most vehicles don't have adjustable timing anymore. Problems with the ignition system, fuel system, emission systems. Failures in any of these basic systems can cause the check engine light to illuminate and falsely identify a circuit or component as the problem, which is true. We see people all the time with lean codes that throw oxygen sensors and things at vehicles. They will not fix the problem typically. You have something else going on. You have a fuel problem. You have a multiple different things you can have going on causing issues. So you got to be very careful about this stuff. Misfire codes, you can think it's a spark plug or a coil or a fuel injector, which it could be. Could also be a related engine compression valve problem. Timing chains. We're seeing VVTs, which is variable valve timing, the solenoids and the cam gears on them start to fail and allow the timing chain to come out of time. And then you can end up with misfires or running rich problems or running lean problems, depending on the valve timing. So really, really interesting stuff in far that. That's why diagnosing and testing is so important to be done properly. All right, let's see what Bruce is up to. What's up to, Mr. Bruce?
I just thought this would be kind of interesting when you were talking about doing donuts in the parking lot
or in the middle of the street like they've been doing these days.
Well, in this case, this is in Carlsbad, and those guys use these parking lots in the business parks, because a lot of them they're huge, and
correct,
so they can anyway. I'm on a bike and riding through these through the parking lots. It's like a regular routine for me. It was just exercise, but I noticed these donuts, and that was what was causing them. This guy's, you know, doing the donuts, and in one case, I heard him a couple blocks away, and I knew that what was going on, but mm-hmm. I just went on my ride, and then I'm behind the you probably know where this is, the National Tire Warehouse in Carlsbad.
Uh-huh.
You probably get tires from them.
Yep.
Anyway, I'm back there, and this is ironic, but a guy's doing donuts back there in a small vehicle and very loud, too. And so I get on the phone, and I call the Carlsbad non-emergency line.
Uh-huh.
And I guess she was a little confused about my description of the car. Because I called it a rice rocket. Well, that didn't fly. But anyway, by the time I was done with her, there was the police. One single patrol car was already there, and he went to the exit of the lot and just waited there.
He must have been in the area.
He was in the area, and so I'm riding by him. So I just thought I'd sit there and watch what happens. And sure enough, the guy's done with his donuts, and he's coming out. And the officer's parked and standing beside his car, and he's the perpetrator says, something wrong, officer? And his response was pretty classic. Oh yeah, right. That's what the policeman said.
Did he?
Something wrong.
The policeman. Yeah. Well, I guess that the only thing for that is if there's nobody around, they're picking a lot safer spot to do that in than somewhere on a street where there's people and everything else, which is what they do with those takeovers. But still, it's against the law. And they will get you if they catch you. So, and it's not that safe, you know, especially sometimes these guys will get several cars and then they'll get people standing around and then they're doing these crazy stuff. I've seen people run over and everything. So it's a very unsafe thing to do. You're right.
Yeah. But I did thought you'd have to appreciate the response of the policeman there. Oh, yeah, right.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah. Well, yeah. Like, really, you don't know what you were doing? We saw you. So, yeah, exactly.
Remember a couple months ago, I called and said I had a 56 Chevy where the hood latch failed on it,
uh-huh.
And the second latch also failed.
Correct.
And it folded the hood over the car, and I just thought I should mention that we had the tools, and we just pulled the hood off and left it there on the side of the road. But the thing is, it was no big thing, because back then, we lived in Los Angeles, and you just go down to Carson, and Carson had, I think it was Main Street, and it was one wrecking yard after another, and you just took your tools in. I had to have help to install it and all, but the same friend was with me, and they let you walk around with your tools, and it wasn't computerized back then. They didn't know what they had. You just walked around.
Yeah, all the invoices were handwritten, and you just walk around and grab what you wanted, and then they'd write up a slip, and you'd pay for it. We used to, years ago, by Brown Field down there, was a slew of wrecking yards. A lot of them are gone now.
I remember.
Ecology, who started it, now it's LKQ Pick Apart. LKQ owns so many things, it's ridiculous. But wrecking yards, so they are the biggest wrecking yard holder in the U.S. for sure. And they've bought up so many of these yards. But they really have, what they do with cars now is often strip them. They'll put them out there for you to take parts off of, but pretty shortly then they strip any good stuff that they warehouse and number and itemize. And then as far as that goes, so when we call in looking for a used part as a fender or a hood or whatever, they have it all categorized and all that stuff. And they're like, oh, we got one. Come off this car. It's this color. We can ship it to you today. So they've really kind of revolutionized the used parts industry, to say the least.
Yep. But nobody's going to be walking around on their lot.
No.
Not with their tools doing. Yeah. So, and one other thing that I did mention at that time on our, my friend and I both had 1956 Chevys,
mm-hmm.
150s, which was the bottom of the line, two-door sedans, and neither one of us had back seats, and the only option we had was a radio and a heater.
There you go.
But his was six-cylinder, that's the Blue Flame 6, and mine was a 265 V8.
V8, yeah.
His was a manual, and mine was an automatic. Okay, and he could keep up with me in a quarter mile drag with his six cylinder versus my V8, and that shows you the absolute draw that the early automatics had on the power of the car.
A power
glide, that was Chevy's trademark.
Gotcha. Hey, Bruce, thanks so much for sharing. I'm gonna have to go. I got like 20 minutes left. They're gonna kick me off here. So hey, have a wonderful weekend and a Merry Christmas, and thanks for the call in and sharing that stuff with us, and be safe out there, okay?
Nice talking to you.
Good talking to you, too. San Diego and everybody else out there, keep the rubber side down and the shiny side up. Have a very Merry Christmas. We will be back live next week, so make sure and tune in 7 a.m. here on 1170 a.m. You've been listening to Auto Talk Radio on The Answer San Diego 1170. Till next weekend, be safe and Merry Christmas.
For answers to all your automotive questions, tune in every week at this same time for Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock. To learn more about Brian, become a guest or sponsor of the show, or if you have additional questions, visit thewestautomotivegroup.com. That's thewestautomotivegroup.com, and click on Auto Talk Radio. Join us again next week for more Auto Talk.